Cool. Well,
So,
we
what's
can
your
start.
deal, Matt? Who are you? Where are you from? What do
All
you do?
right. I'm Matt. My hat says Cleveland, but I'm from Akron, Ohio. If you're familiar with LeBron James or Steph Curry, just a few names. No, just kidding.
No big deal.
Yeah, I moved to Carolina, I guess, in 2008. Went to school in Atlanta and or Cleveland first, and then Atlanta, and then moved to Carolina to join a touring 80s band, tribute 80s
Oh,
band.
that's fun.
So that's how I ended up here. And I figured I would probably move around the obvious, like go to Nashville. Everybody who's dreaming, they're
Yeah.
gonna go to the big places or whatever. But I met my wife and I continued to work, and this became home. There was no place else to go. I currently teach full time. So I work for a company called Sonora Guitar Mastery Intensive. We have Billy Strings on our roster, as well as many other clientele. But so that's just new in the last couple years, and that handles most of the bills. So I've been playing a lot less, but when you
Okay.
see me play, I'm doing trying to branch out and do the next level things. So I still play around town, but trying to go to like the NAMM shows and go play at the International Musicians Summit, like try to whatever that next place is
Gotcha.
basically where I've been
Okay.
hanging out. But I'm a local cat, I guess, and I studied jazz guitar, classical guitar. I obviously play rock guitar. My band is called Karate Club. I have a fusion, couple different groups too, but I have a fusion group that we're called Animika. We used to play every Wednesday night at the Whiskey Box, but due to my teaching schedule, I don't play with those guys on Wednesday nights anymore, but still from time to time we'll play outside of
Where's the whiskey box?
that. So the Whiskey Box is on 4th Street in Winston. It's
Great.
underneath Rec Billiards.
I try to stay on top of all the things, and I've never heard of that. That's
Yeah, that'd be
crazy.
a great thing to post about. Yeah, a lot
Oh,
of most
cool.
people know about it. It's
Okay.
not like a speakeasy sort of
Yeah.
situation, but most people know that we would throw down on Wednesdays, and
Oh,
indeed they
cool.
still throw down. And before I was in the band, Daniel Seraph was in it. Court winner and his dad, I think, started it up. So it's been going on for a long time. But I guess my point is I still play with those guys as well, and then just a lot of different tandems of musicians around the town, that I play with
Yeah.
as well. So kind of a
Cool.
freelance, kind of in groups, kind of not. But I've been playing since I was 11. I think that was the only other thing I left out. My grandmother taught me how to play.
Cool. And so it was something you were good at, or just something that you really liked, or a combination, or.
Not really natural. Not naturally gifted at it physically. Took me a lot of effort and practice and a lot of heartache to get my fingers to do what I was hearing. But I've always had the gift of hearing music and just getting it, just understanding what needed to be done. It was just a matter of time. So growing up, my dad is a drummer, played in bands. My brother, my grandmother, as I said, her whole side of the family that lived in West Virginia, they were all back porch picker
Okay,
kind of,
gotcha.
nobody did it really professionally other than my dad was like kind of a week or and still is kind of like a weekend warrior, have a day job and then play gigs on the weekend. So I always thought that was probably my destiny, but I saw Marty McFly in Back to the Future kicking stuff over and shredding, and I loved the sound of it, and I was like, I'm gonna do that. So ever since I was little, my dad would let me like get up with his band and like fake play and
Yeah.
sing.
Yeah.
And I had no pitch when I would sing. I had no ability to actually play the guitar, but I had the will to do it. So my brother, however, he's like anything he touches, he's good at. Like nearly
That's
instantly.
not annoying at
Yeah,
all,
I know,
but
right? But we all have those people.
sure.
Joey Barnes. There's just people like that. And so for me, I just realized I was like, well, I want it bad enough. I would do whatever it took other than, go to the crossroads and sell my soul to the devil, which was the only other answer apparently you have. So I was like, well, I'll just try really, really hard. And so my grandmother was like, well, hey, I used to play. She busted out this, I think it was a 64 Jaguar. It might have been a 62, but 1964 Fender Jaguar. And I guess it was just under the bed up in the guest bedroom, for years. She busted it out and she took a couple weeks to kind of like get her Shakespeare back in order, you know? And then she started teaching me. And she just taught me, like, surf songs, The Ventures, Wipeout, Rebel Rouser, you know, things like that that she knew, some Chet Atkinsy kind of stuff. And then I would just practice all week. I'd go back to her house the next weekend. I'd get another song. I'd practice all week. I'd get, you know, and it just, I just worked really, really hard. In like middle school and high school, everybody was taking music class, like learning trombone or right. something, but there wasn't that for like guitar. So the jazz band was the first time I saw, oh, here's this opportunity to play guitar, but you can't be in it if you can't read. And so I couldn't read. My dad went in and talked to the band director. Her name is Mrs. Aliotti. And she was like, well, let's give him a shot. So I went in. There was another guitar player. He could read, but he wasn't playing as well as I was.
Okay.
So he was teaching me the notes. The piano players, I would sneak over and be like, hey, what is you know, where's a B flat? I had just no clue. So then when I went to high school, by the time I got to high school, I was like, oh, I need to learn how to read. And the first thing is rhythm. Yeah. Learn how to read rhythm. So I quit the football team. I joined the marching band. And I played cymbals the first year. And just like, you know, banging on those things every, you know, half note or something. And then the next year, I was like, I'm trying out for like bass drum, you know. So I learned how to read, you know, eighth notes, triplets, and 16th notes, just like some basic stuff. And then I started playing bass drum. And that's actually harder than you would imagine, because it's easy to, you know, once you understand rhythms, it's easy to read them.
Yeah.
But to only play this eighth note in the eighth bar, because it's a whole line of bass drums,
I totally
really got me good at, like, you had to mark time because
you're
marching.
Right.
It just, like, it was a no-brainer. It was like, oh, now I can play rhythm. Like, I understand rhythm. So then in high school and beyond, I was just trying to learn how to read on guitar, which is actually one of the hardest instruments to learn how to read on, because you have so many variables of where C could be played, the same exact C, you know.
Okay.
So it's tough to read that, but I got it. So it's been a long, slow burn, but now, you know, sometimes when people hear you now, they hear the, not the end product, but where the product is currently 30 years in. You know, I've almost been playing that long. Oh, you're amazing, you know, you're virtuoso and all that stuff. It's like, no, I just worked and worked and worked for 30 years. So when people sign up for lessons, I'm like, they're like, well, how do I get to as good as you or as good as whomever? Like, well, you dedicate your life to it, and every day you brush your teeth, you know?
Yeah.
And you just, you enjoy the ride, and when you get there, you get there, I guess, so.
Very cool. That's cool to think that inspiration stuck with you, especially as a, you know, like, perspective at that age is like next to non-existent, you know. So it's cool that you're able to be like, no, this is the thing that I want to do, and I'm gonna do it and keep after it.
Yeah. And I saw so many people, it really hit me, like, when you go to college, because so many people that, you know, did really well in school, had awesome grades and stuff, they get into college and you notice they keep changing their major, and they just don't know what their, I don't know if it's their purpose or what I'm trying to say there, but you know what I mean? Like, they just seem unsure. For somebody so smart, so successful, they seem unsure. Whereas I maybe got some bad grades because I was just always playing the guitar. I had no doubt. It was like, this is what I'm doing or nothing. Or I just don't exist, I guess. So, and I just willed it to happen.
Gotcha. So. Cool. Very cool. Okay, let's go ahead and get started with something. What do you have to begin with?
Well, I think the most relevant thing would be my wife and I just had our anniversary. We're going on a trip next week to Ireland.
Oh, cool.
12 years.
That's awesome.
So I'll play a tune for her.
Oh, that sounds great.
That makes sense? Okay. So.
Awesome. Thank you.
I don't know if that was too long, if I should shorten
it up. No, not at all. No, that's cool. Great. No, congratulations.
Thank you.
How did you and your wife meet?
The way I said we never would, which was at a bar at a gig.
Oh, okay.
I have a particular vendetta for that, so I was like, that's never going to be the case. But I was playing Jay Butler's in Clemens with a fellow colleague and friend, Jim Mayberry, in, I don't know, 2011, I guess. And we were doing that gig every Wednesday for a long time. So you start to get to know the regulars that are in there, you know? And it's mostly dudes just in there drinking, you know? So two girls walk in, you know, one night, and it kind of stops the whole room but me. And I'm just sitting there, you know, playing. But I just happened to catch Miranda, and I was like, and it just kind of like, you know, jacked with my head a little bit. I was like, man, I really like her. I'm not going to talk to her. There's no way. I'm just going to play, shut my mouth, and just play. But, she went over there, long story short, and she tells it a little bit differently. From my perspective, all the guys went and took a pass at her, and you could just see it. So we're just playing, and I'm kind of disjointed, and I watch these guys go right back to wherever they came from. So I was like, there's no way, you know? So I go, when we take a break, I go sit down, and I drink my Diet Coke. That's my routine, and I would come back and play, and I'd sit there. I'll even practice during my break. That's how crazy it would be. But I went and sat there, and my buddy, Jim, he'll go talk to anybody, you know? So he went right up to her. And then I look over, and they're having a full-on conversation. She's laughing. I'm like, hang on a second. What just happened? So apparently she asked him, so what's up with your friend? Why does he just go sit and, I guess, not do what every other guy did? No, I'm just kidding. But so they waved, and I came over. Well, anyways, I struck out pretty quick. I think I said, yeah, so I'm mad. Like, how old are you? And at the time, she was 22. I was 25. And she said 22. So I, having nothing better to say, was like, oh, your baby. And just struck out instantly.
She was like, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, she kind of turned around and didn't say too much after that. So anyways, we went back up and played. And she came up and sat, like, right in front. And every time I looked up, she was just looking at my buddy playing. So I'm like, oh, that's it, you know? She's more interested in him. He's extremely talented. So that made sense if you're a music lover. But didn't make sense to me. I was like, why is she not looking over here? Well, apparently, so I got kind of ticked. Apparently, I just went in the zone. And I just started playing, you know, do what I do. And apparently, every time I looked down, she was looking at me. And every time I looked up, she was looking at him. And he told me that after it. So they head out to the car. It's like raining or something. We're tearing down. I'm like, dude, I struck out, man. I went for it. I should have known better. That's why I sit over in the corner and don't talk to anybody. And he was like, no, dude, you need to go after her. Like, you need to run outside right now and go after her. He goes, because, dude, every time you looked at her or she, like, you guys were just going back and forth and you had no idea. And I was like, really? So I bolt outside. Sorry, I'm really butching this story if my wife ever sees this. But so anyways, ran out there and I was like, hey, this is crazy, but do you want to go out sometime? And that was the case. So long story short, or sort of long. So.
That's awesome.
And then we went to the zoo for our first date. She's a zookeeper at the Greensboro Science Center.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I've actually been there obviously like 1,000 times with my kids.
Yep. So if you're ever back like by the wolves, the anteater just passed away, Yuri, but back that, in that area, that string, she works back there.
Oh, cool.
So we went to the zoo on our first date and just kind of, I think we fell in love. I don't know. You'll have to ask her.
But now I feel like I have to hear her version.
Yeah, it is a little different. Yeah, the perspective. So that's my perspective.
She's a music lover like you, beyond, a little bit less.
She's not a musician. She doesn't play. I mean, she can, though. Like, I've seen her mess around with piano or mess around with a ukulele, play a little bit of guitar. She just enjoys the embodiment of music. She's always listening to music. It definitely sets her tone. Like, if we get in the car and I put on something, she'll be like, hey, hang on, like, I'm messing with her vibe and her aura that she's got.
That's how I've had to, like, train my husband, who's never, you know, he's always just been like, I don't know, what are we on the charts, what's, you know, he likes your typical, like, female, like, power ballads, and he's just like, yeah, that's my jam. Like, that's really odd and not what I would have pegged you for. But I've, like, introduced him to music here and there, and I feel like every time we get in the car, he's like, do you want to play something? Do you want to play your music? I'm like, okay, thank respecting the fact that I normally DJ in the car.
Yeah, it's very much she DJs. If I'm driving, typically I'll get to, you know, especially if it's a long road trip or something, I might get to take the playlist a little bit because I need my driving tunes. But yeah, her whole vibe and her day, it definitely feels like it kind of starts with animals and music, and she get and plants, and she kind of gets her NIS going, and then you don't want to disturb that.
Of course not.
So
not if you're smart.
But it's made me listen to, and I'm pretty eclectic when it comes to music because I got to play it. So I feel like you need to listen to music even if you don't care for it. You need to listen that song all the way through.
Yeah.
Like absorb, take from it whatever you can because you might need it when you go to play.
Gotcha.
But she's introduced me to a ton of stuff. I didn't like Dave Matthews Band. Oh, I don't want to say didn't like.
Sure,
you just
weren't like a...
I wasn't buying the records or anything. Sure. You know, like I knew the popular songs, whatever.
It also feels very dichotomous, like, are you a Dave Matthews Band fan?
You're either
or like,
are you aren't.
Yeah,
yeah,
it feels like that.
Yeah, I was kind of in the gray area. My best friend, Ben, he's a big Dave fan. But I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Like, why it was such... people would go to bat for it. You
right,
know, just
right.
Enjoy it. It's fine. It's Dave. You know?
Yeah.
But... she took me to a Dave, or we went to a Dave concert, and then it changed my mind. Like hearing it live and hearing it on record is different. And then every Daver, if I don't know if that's their names, but I apologize. That's what they say. They're like, well, you got to hear it live.
Right.
So on the records, those are brilliant records for sure. They just don't connect with me, but seeing it live was entirely different. So that's a big thing. I'm not a Daver just yet, but I do appreciate it more than I did.
Yeah.
And so I try to take that approach with any and everything, and I think that's how I came to jazz.
Okay.
And things of that nature. But she, you know, listening to her music just helps me out because it's like, oh, I would have never thought to listen to this.
Right, right.
Teaching students too, you know, like I know the whole Taylor Swift catalog now because of teaching young kids or even, you know, mostly girls that were learning that stuff.
Right.
But it helped. I was like, wow, now I'm up to date on, you know, country from, you know, 2008 to now, you know, or whatever she's morphed into now. So
cool. Very cool. So what are you listening to right now?
And everything.
And also, can I also just ask, like, I'm often, like, I'm always listening to music, always. But I wonder if people who are constant, who, like, it's, you know, your job in part to play, do you get, like, tired of listening to others, or do you not have the bandwidth to listen to other music because you're, you know, in whatever zone for playing your music, or how do you feel about that?
Yeah, that's kind of seasonal. So there are times where I'll be getting busy where I don't do this often anymore, but there are times where it's pretty lucrative to go in and save the day, which what I mean by that is like somebody's guitar player couldn't make it, so you got to learn 30 songs in 2 days kind of thing. That's kind of my jam. Like I can do that really, really well. And I just recently did it with a country artist too. So I'm good at doing that, absorbing a lot of music quickly.
Okay.
But that's annoying to me because I got to hear those songs over and over and over again. I don't even sit and practice them. I just listen till they feel absorbed. And then I've already got an idea of what the parts might be. And then I sit down maybe the day before and run them. But that's kind of annoying to me. So I do like to switch the jukebox. But because you're a working musician, you'll find whatever you're preparing for, you got to keep listening to that thing.
Right.
So typically I'll put on like a Spotify, you know, or I'll start with an artist that I like on Apple. What is it called? Apple Music?
I know. What are they?
Yeah, I'll start there. Here, I like this band called The Strike. So I'll start with The Strike. And then I'll just put it on playlist. And it's going to show me other bands like that I would have never found, you know. Or I'll do that things like that just to try to mix it up. But I listen to a ton of jazz. So currently, Bill Evans Trio. Anything like that is kind of like what I assign myself. Like I need to be hearing this, you know.
Okay.
And there's plenty of others. I love Borelli LeGreen, who's a gypsy jazz guitar player. So typically I'll listen to that stuff a lot. I also like to, I know I just dissed it for when you're learning it for gigs, but I do like to take one record and listen to it for the entire year.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So not all day every day, but once a day.
Yeah.
When you're driving, just let the playlist keep going. If you left off at track 4, let it go to track 5 next. Don't skim around, and just listen to a whole record and embody the whole record. My I minored in piano in school in college. My teacher Jackie Warren, she told me she did that. I was like, well, if Jackie does it, she's amazing, then I'm going to do that. You know, so I do a little bit of that. But as far as just listening for enjoyment, I think that's important too, because we're, like I said, we're always listening for our work.
Right.
And it can burn you out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Cool.
Sorry, my answers are a little bit winded.
No, that's fantastic. No, they're great. Yeah, that's really cool. All right, let's go to your second song. What do you have next?
Oh man, I don't know if I know enough songs. No, I'm just kidding. I like those songs people forgot about.
Okay.
If you remember that song,
of course, of course I do. So how do you come up with your arrangements? Do you write them down like musically? Do you write them down like as chords? Do you not write them down at all and just like memorize them all, or do you play them a little differently every single time?
Okay, that's a compound. How it starts is so my dad, like I was talking about embodying a tune, like listen, don't try to play it, listen to it. A lot of people go, oh, I'm gonna learn this song, let me look up the chords.
Yeah.
And then they go read that music. So if you embody the tune, in my opinion, you don't need the music. So I would listen to the tunes over and over again, but driving in the car with my dad when we were kids, he would always be drumming on the steering column and on the dashboard. Mm-hmm. He would do the keyboard parts. He would always do these things, and especially like if you listen to the Beatles or Michael Jackson, there's a lot of stuff in the background you don't catch until somebody points it out to you.
For sure.
And then you can't unhear it or unsee it.
Yeah, I literally was playing Michael Jackson for my kids. I was like, you know, I think it's about time you guys get, you know, familiar. So do you hear that cowbell? Isn't that random? But it's there.
Right, right. Incredible. My dad was always about that. There'd be like a little wind chimes or the gong at the end of Bohemian Rhapsody. So he was always doing that stuff, and he would just point out stuff. So I felt like I just started hearing songs clearer, and I hear the, once again, the embodiment of the song. So when I listen to something, I'm like internalizing the chord progression.
Okay.
Because it's mostly in one key, you know, certain songs might change keys, but I try to embody the chord progression and then embody the melody. Those can go in whatever order because they're gonna go together. The bass line, is important, but not necessarily that it's a baseline, just the root notes of it. Sometimes I'll carry a baseline, sometimes it's so busy you can't.
Right.
But yeah, I just listen and listen and listen, and then I sit down at my instrument, because I mean, we're musicians, we should be able to play, I shouldn't need sheet music, you know? So if I sit down and I've already heard the tune enough, I should be able to make out on my instrument what it is. If for whatever reason you can't, then you got to go take another listen, you know? But a lot of times we just go, well, what did the internet say? And then we pull up wrong chords,
right,
you know,
because
people, you don't have to have a doctorate to post up there,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like people play songs wrong because they just go look them up and get an answer. It's like, no, just figure it out yourself, you know? So I do that, and I'll sit there and mess with it until I figure out how to play it. You'll notice, or I don't know, do you play guitar at all?
I just started teaching myself the ukulele.
Oh, nice. That's a great place to start. Well, yeah. a comment I always get is people say, well, man, I just don't see you playing the normal guitar chords, because we're used to seeing the cowboy stuff, you know, and the bar chords and the root. It's like, well, you can't play the melody, the bass note, and then the chord with just stock guitar chords. So basically what I do is I go, what's the bass line?
Okay.
And what's the melody? And how can I attach those? And then based on where I've attached those on the other strings, are there parts of the chord I could grab? Keyword being parts. I don't have to grab the whole chord.
Right.
A lot of times, like the third and the seventh are just enough to... So if you got the bass, which is usually the root, not always, but usually, and then whatever the melody might be, and then I'll grab whatever I can. And so I just make it the arrangement for the guitar, but not using normal guitar things. And I don't do that on purpose. I just find that's the only way you can do it.
I see.
Every time I tried to do it with stock chords, I was failing. So I do that, and I will sit there and play. It's almost like I should just bring my wife here so she can give her perspective. But I sit there and I fiddle with it. I just keep messing with it until I find the answer. A lot of people will play, when they play a song, they go, well, I do it this way because it's easier.
Okay.
For me, that's never been the answer. It's never been the easy way. So to me, it's like, no, what just makes it, you know, work? So sometimes there might be a grip that I'll decide, like, oh man, I love this chord, but there's no way live I'm gonna be able to grip that, you know, quickly, or I need to practice it more, it needs to cook longer. So I'll sacrifice it for a different chord voicing. But sorry, that's a winded answer. And then the other part of that question was, and then do you play it the same way every time?
Yeah.
So once I get it down, I need to play it the same way every time, so that the muscle memory or long-term memory will start to be there for me.
Okay.
For example, on the last song I said, ironically, I was like, I like to play the songs people forget about.
Yeah.
And when I started the first verse, I was kind of forgetting how it went, and it was my muscle memory. So I just played things that I'm hearing. But because the muscle memory is strong, I'm able to kind of mess with it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm giving you the behind the scenes now, but if you listen to that, you're not gonna be able to tell, you know, unless you've heard me play that before. But so you gotta do something in the midst of that. But I feel like it's harder to start to mess with it or improvise if you don't have a solid foundation of how it goes. So usually when I make one, I'll play it the same way for years.
Okay.
And then like my buddy John Green, amazing drummer, he plays with me a lot, and now he's starting to hear me like mutate them, you know, because they're strong enough.
Right.
They'll withstand even if I make a mistake.
Yeah.
Can still get back into place. But for a lot of people, when you make an arrangement of something, if one thing goes out of place, the whole thing
falls
collapses.
Mm-hmm.
So I've found that I'm better at, even if I make a mistake, you won't know unless I tell you.
Gotcha.
You know, because it's the foundation is so strong. So I really focus on, I guess, what would be the basics, like just play the song how it goes, get it to where that's confident, and then you can embellish or something.
Yeah,
but that's just me.
Cool. Very
sorry.
Cool.
Another winded answer.
No, that's fantastic. I mean, I had like, I guess maybe like a year ago, I was like, you know, I'd really love to be able to get into like bluegrass, but as far as playing, but I'm just so like classically trained, and very much so like sheet music is like, you know, that's like I live and die by.
Right, right.
And so I love hearing what you have to say, because I'm like, okay, this is really like resonating for me, especially like lately where I'm like, hey, I want to, you know, play. I love being able to do, you know, just like pieces that people wouldn't expect from a viola. So it's like, okay, great, I'm working on this Green Day song, you know, just trying to, yeah. Or like, I love doing the whole alt 90s, you know, anything really. So I'm like, okay, let's get this like Incubus song down. But yeah, I really like, you know, what you're saying about trying to embody the melody, because oftentimes, yeah, trying to like pick it out exactly doesn't quite work. Whereas I find is like when I'm playing from books that it's like, oh, this is really boring. And I would love to make it sound like more interesting, but I feel like I have to, like you're saying, like, I think I need to like internalize it more so. And instead of like, usually want to get like a melody that I'm like, okay, great. Then I'm like, let me write it down. And I'm from talking to you now, I'm like, no, I need to start to just like memorize it and really like live in it so that I can then like mess with it and add things to it, embellishments to make it sound more interesting. But yeah, so like, that's awesome. Cause yeah, I have a tough time with improv, and obviously that's gotta be your strength.
But I have an appreciation for both. Cause like I said, I wasn't a reader. So
right,
I would
right.
eat it on reading. And yeah. then the, you know, her name was Christine Malloy that I went to high school with, and she could just, you know, read her tail off, you know, and I always envied that. I think as a professional, yeah, reading is like top. I've had to do it a lot, and there's been a lot of moments that changed the course of my career because I did it well and I was prepared for
yeah.
it. But I think there's that other side. I've seen people who are like, I'm a classical musician,
right.
and I can read anything. And then you're like, all right, cool, let's just play a C7
right.
and just jam. What
yeah.
do you got?
Exactly.
And so I feel like it just needs to be both ways.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like I said, professionally I work on reading, but when I go to play, I don't, like, everybody uses iPads and stuff.
Mm, yeah.
That doesn't make sense to
me. I can't.
Yeah, and it's no diss to that.
Sure.
I'm not that guy either. If you need it, use it, you know.
Right.
But to me, like, once again, embodying the tune, I just feel like, why would I ever want music in front of me unless it's a request?
Yeah.
Like, if somebody's like, hey, do you know this song? Well, let me pull it up. Let me just take a look at it. I don't embody that tune, so
yeah.
I do need to take a look at it. I get that. But you find when you look at the pictures of the greats, they didn't have iPads.
Right.
So
yeah,
I just feel like if I want to do that, I can't have it.
Well, and even like I have found, of course, that like I play best when I close my eyes, you know, when I'm like really like listening to the music and playing, you know, and focusing on the melody and the melodic line and where it's going. That's when, like, I sometimes play at the Cancer Center at Wake, and I view that as like a way to kind of give back, but also like working my musicianship, where I'm like really trying to like kind of tune out what's going on. But you can't tune out sheet music if you're relying on it. So it's I feel like that's where it's like, yeah, it's ideal to at some points be able to really memorize and feel it within to actually be able to play. So I feel like I've been trying for, to evolve as a musician, where, because I play in a local orchestra and I love that, but I do want to be able to, like, I have a friend who plays guitar and banjo and like all the things in my neighborhood, and he's like, you should come over and jam, and I'm like, that sounds so cool. I don't feel like I'm equipped for that, but I'm like, I'd love to be at the point where I can do that, where I'm like, yeah, let's go ahead and play, and I'll just, like, you know.
Yeah, and it's like I said, it's good that you have the ability to read so well, because it comes in handy, you know. But yeah, to me, if you say you're a musician, then why wouldn't music just be coming out of you, you know? And so if you find that to be difficult, and I'm not saying that to you or anyone in particular,
sure.
for myself, if I were to find music to be difficult to just flow out of me, then that's what I need to be working
on. Right, 100%.
There's nothing, you know, there's
yeah.
nothing else to me. And guitar players are the worst with it. And I'm one too. I was there at one point. But they, you know, they hand you a guitar and then they're like, play. And we play chords and, I don't know, maybe strum a song here and there. But most of the time, they'll sit down and not be able to just do what I just did.
Yeah.
And so when I saw that for the first time, I saw a guitar player do that, I was like, hang on a second. That's amazing. You handed them an instrument and they didn't just play pretty things on it.
Right.
You know, just like you're sound checking or something.
Yeah.
Like played a full song.
Right.
You know?
Right.
George Benson does that. Every time he picks up a guitar, he plays a song. He doesn't just noodle around,
yeah.
you know, or drop tune it and play, you know. So to me, that was the first thing. I was like, I'm going to embody music and I'm going to embody repertoire.
Yeah.
I'm going to know a lot of tunes, a
right.
lot of standards and stuff. Same thing with writing. So much of us play cover music,
mm-hmm.
but then don't write music. So when the pandemic hit, I was like, it's time to start putting out original music again, you know,
gotcha.
Since we don't have gigs to worry about.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about of course, there are a lot of awful things that came from the pandemic,
correct.
But
yeah.
I feel like for music, COVID was kind of cool because there's so many, especially like, you know, I was thinking of Tori Kelly specifically, but just like a lot of artists that were like, guess I'm going to get on my phone and start playing, like, you know, and singing and doing whatever, which is like live instead of produced. And it was, I felt like a really cool moment for music, generally speaking.
Well, and they needed it.
Yeah.
We all did.
Yeah.
You know, there were so many of us that went Facebook live and getting tips, and it, now you're playing.
Yeah.
It was do or die, kind of, you know? And so I've seen a lot of, I don't know if you call them blessings, or I've seen good things happen to people because of that terrible thing, you know, the pandemic, but then I also watch people's lives get destroyed.
Sure.
But yes, I have seen, and last night I played with Michael Chaney, who you should get on here
as
well. Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
I just posted about him, so
you
can
awesome.
Find him
Thank
online.
You.
But he's great, and he was working on like oil rigs.
Oh.
And he's a drummer, fantastic singer. He's definitely towards the top, singing wise, and just got new guitar because the pandemic put him out of work, brought him home, started picking up the guitar and messing with it. And we did a gig last night. I mean, you know, he's gotten to the point now, and I've given him some lessons, but I didn't give him instruction week to week for years, you know, and he's soloing and stuff now too,
cool.
You know, and I'm just trying to think of where I was at 4 years in. I would have been, I guess 13 or 14 years old. I wasn't playing like he is. So the sky's the limit for him,
yeah.
You know, in my opinion. He feels maybe green because he's only been playing for so long, but the pandemic kind of did that for him.
Right,
so
right.
I don't mean to shine light on a bad thing.
Sure,
but,
of course.
Yeah.
There's some silver linings here and there.
Correct. Correct.
What's next?
Another song?
Yeah.
We've been talking about Michael. Can I play some Michael?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please. I feel like it's kind of, or it can be a little more common for people to play guitar, like guitar and piano, because they're, I guess, easier to start with. So because of that, I feel like I've taken for granted, like, all of the things that are happening when someone is playing guitar. And now that I've been, like, teaching myself the ukulele, I'm like, oh my God, I don't know how people do this. It feels like I'm trying to, like, you know, like, pat my, you know, head and rub my tummy at the same time. And I'm, like, watching you, in addition to actually playing the melody, but, like you mentioned, like, grabbing other, like, chord progressions, and then people sing on top of that. And the strumming, I can't even, like, I'm, like, strumming at the same time. It's been very humbling. I'm like, wow, this is hard.
It's kind of, well, once again, my dad plays drums, so and my brother as well, but that kind of stuff got a little easier, because, like, when you first do it, the bass, yeah, feels counterintuitive to what the melody is doing, mm-hmm. and they're working in tandem, but contrary right. to one another. So you got to embody one, then embody the other, and then you got to play them together. So, like, when a drummer practices, they'll hit that hi-hat, like, four beats, and then they'll just do 1, 2, 3, 4. So you start to see, like, where they connect and where one is playing in betwixt,
right,
if you will,
right.
and then where the other one lands. So when you do it, it's like, well, this one's doing all four, this one's only doing 2 and 4, this one's doing 1 and 3, and it feels, you know, indifferent to one another, but you start feeling the sum of the parts.
Okay.
And seeing, like, where certain ones connect, that started making sense to me on with this kind of stuff. Okay. I was like, oh, okay, so if I take it slow, I'm trying to think of an example. If you took, yeah, let's just talk about Michael for a second. So if you took Billie Jean, bop, 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 bop. I'm just singing those chordal parts, right?
Bop, right.
Bop. I'll just try to sing that against it rather than play it against it, right? Just try to sing and feel where that is. And if I got to go slow, bop, bop, bop,
oh, I see.
Bop. And I can start to see what where? Note it's actually hitting on. Then you can start to go. And even this, 2, 3, 4, bop. I'll just sit and groove with that for a bit, or like reggae does a similar thing. Like, the chords for the guitar will be like, so you still have that,
yeah, gotcha.
You can still hear those chords, but then again, put that tap in.
Right.
So there's 2 or 3 things happening, but I just do it very slow. I don't need the rest of the song. What I need to do is spend a weekend just doing that nice and slow, whether it's to a click or just trying to tap and once again just embody how all the parts fit together, yeah. rather than feeling like they're all separate.
I see. Cool.
Sorry, I could talk about that.
That's great. I'm gonna, because now I'm gonna be thinking about that. This, you know, my daughter are very big about fall, and so obviously this week we're like, oh, Halloween and all the things, even though we have like a while before we get there. My daughter's been saying, like, can we sing campfire songs with the ukulele? And I was like, okay, I guess I'm gonna have to learn something. So I'm trying to use that as like my goalpost. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna learn a song and teach it to my daughter, and then we can sing it together. But yeah, just working on all the parts.
Well, it's tough too, because when you work on a song, I see this with students a lot. Right, guitar players will be like, hey, I want to learn Dire Straits' Sultans of Swing.
Okay.
Epic song, humongous song. Most of it's manageable, actually. That solo at the end is make or break, you know? I teach them that first. I go right to the source.
Gotcha.
I'm like, if you learn that whole song for a couple months, right, coming into your lessons and you piece it all together, a lot of this seems unachievable, but I can tell you, you're going to achieve it and it's going to seem simple, but then you're going to get to that solo and you've already spent months mm-hmm. and now you have this mountain to climb that yeah. you know there's six more months.
Right.
So I'm like, if you want to learn that song, let's learn that last solo first. Okay. If you can earn that, yeah. and you can, you just have to have the will to do it. Once you get that down, then when you go knock the rest of this stuff out, that'll go by faster yeah. and that'll feel more rewarding. Right. Rather than you're right at the end of your limit, you're like, I can't hear yeah. this song anymore, yeah. and then you got to go up another mountain. So,
and that's how you give up easily. I see.
Right, right. Yeah. So sometimes when we learn songs, you think to start from the beginning.
Yeah.
But especially if you have a teacher or mentor, ask them where to start. The song is played from beginning to end, but that's not how it's learned. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes, if you start with the hardest section, you already got reps doing that.
Yeah.
Then you can go start at the intro, you know, or like a lot of people know songs really well up to the bridge.
Yeah.
And then the bridge like gets them, you know. Why is that? Because when you learned the intro, you spent weeks doing it. Then you're like, okay, cool, I'm ready for the verse. And then you spent weeks doing that, and then you piece those together. So you spent all these weeks, and then you got to the bridge. That's the newest thing now. Mm-hmm. You're weeks in,
yeah.
and you've put the least amount of reps into that. You know. So I always feel like I try to scan songs now and go, what's the hard part? You know, like when I was mm-hmm. learning country a couple weeks ago, I was like, ooh, that solo's a doozy. I'm not even going to start at the beginning of the song. I'm going to start right there. Gotcha. And I just start working on it, you know. And then once that's down, you go to the beginning, you start going, okay, this, yeah, the rest of this is pretty
doable.
Yeah, pretty yeah. manageable.
Oh,
so.
Cool. Smart. I like that.
Hard to do sometimes if you just don't know, though.
Yeah.
Well, what's the hard part of this?
Right.
It all sounds hard.
Right.
You listen to Bohemian Rhapsody, you're like, oh,
the whole thing.
Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So.
I see. So we kind of, I think we've filtered through past, present, what lies ahead for you? What are your goals? What are you thinking about?
Yeah.
Whether it's like 6 months or 5 years or whatever. What's
yeah.
the top
to
of
be
mind?
Honest with you, this is the first time in my life where I couldn't see past it, you know? Doing the teaching thing at the level that I'm doing it at now is kind of the highest I would have never imagined I would ever get.
Yeah.
So I kind of got somewhere I didn't think I was going to get. And now that I'm there, I don't really know what to do with myself. So what I'm trying to do is act like I belong, you know, because a lot of times you feel like I'm an all shucks kind of guy, try to be as humble as possible. Even if I do something well, be very humble. Those are great traits to have, but they've kind of bitten me sometimes. You're so humble, you're so all shucks that you don't deliver, you know, you don't go into something competitively or like with the fire. You're just like, well, I'll do my best and mm-hmm. I'll just be humble about it. But it's like, I've learned now there's a level of player that you get around that you have to bring it, and there's nothing else to do
yeah.
than just have the fire about it. So I've had to like retrain myself to go into things and be like confident about it, you know, or to the best of my ability.
Sure.
So as of right now, I'm not real sure. I know that I'll continue to teach. I think that's really my biggest passion. I love to play, but I love getting people who think they can't do it mm-hmm. to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what happened to me. So I would imagine it would have something to do with that, but I would like to put out more original music. I've got so much music, as probably many musicians do, that are on like hard drives. You know, that like you just never put out. It was a demo or
yeah.
something. And so, like I said, when the pandemic hit and it shut everything down, that was the opportunity to go, oh, I got all these ideas, let's put them out. But we get so busy working and teaching that
right.
we just never contribute to our own, you know, art of it. So
mm-hmm.
I want to do more of that. I did it a lot younger with some punk and metal bands I was in, and we put stuff out and it was great. And then recently with the Karate Club stuff, but I want to do more like my jazz fusion stuff and more original stuff. So that's where it's at right now. I want to travel with my wife as well, as much as possible.
What's after Ireland?
That's a question for
What's
her.
On the
I need
list?
To bring her next.
She needs to come
to
on.
Next.
Tell us what the
There's been a few
like.
Banff, I think was mentioned.
Okay.
One other time, but there's been a few that have come and gone and then turned into something else. But Ireland's the next one. I'm sure on the last day of that trip, there will already be conversations of what
the next thing.
The next one's
oh,
gonna
that's
be.
Awesome.
But, we've been doing that since 2020 as well. We went to Iceland, Scotland, Switzerland. So every year you get home from one, you just start stowing away for the next,
right.
you know, and I've really enjoyed that, because the other thing about being a musician, especially I did a lot of touring and a lot of traveling. you don't really see those places.
Right.
Like, you go by the Washington Monument when you play DC, and you go, you know, you see these things, but you're taking a snapshot picture. You got to, like, go into the gig, you got to sound check, you got to wait around to be fed, you got to be dressed before the guests get there, you know, depending on the gig that you're doing. But just felt like there was never time to really go see the city, and then you're off to the next one, or you got to go back home, you know, because the agency or the label didn't get you rooms or whatever it was, you know.
So my brother is an airline pilot, and I'm always like, oh, cool, where'd you end up? He's like, I don't know, I just, you know, I'm in the hotel.
Yeah, I touched down here and here.
And I get up and go back across the country, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So that part of it, I felt like I missed out on, even though I traveled a lot. So with her, I don't play any music.
Ah, okay.
I'll take a guitar. I have to have a string instrument.
Okay, good. I was wondering that, too.
I really am a grumpy individual without a stringed instrument, and I don't have to play for hours and hours a day. I obviously do, but I don't need to. If I just scratch the itch a little bit, you know, you wake up in the morning, I like to be on some strings, or, you know, before I go to bed, or just whenever there's a gap in the day, I like to do
that. I leave my instrument out, and every time I walk by it, I just stop and I'm like, okay, just gonna
play a little ditty.
Just do a little something here, a little something there.
And, and I don't know, sometimes I'm practicing, like when we go to the beach with my in-laws and stuff, I'll take a guitar and I'll actually wake up before everyone else and practice. Mm-hmm. But most of the time I'm just sitting there playing now, just enjoying the fruits of your labor.
Right.
You know, we spend so much time practicing. It's like, just sit and play your tunes and enjoy it. So I don't know if I'm answering your questions anymore.
Are.
I'm
you
just
are.
Gabbing
no,
on.
Good. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear all about what's going on with you. So that's great. Do you want to play one more? Can you play one more?
Can I play one more? Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I can do more. Yeah.
Just one.
Just one more. I'm trying to think of what I want to do.
How many times do people ask you for John Mayer?
Oh, yeah. Constantly. Constantly. I don't do any John Mayer solo arrangements. I ought to, because he's got some pretty brilliant stuff. But that tap thing that I do came from the that and the,
of course.
I don't know, I've played my songs so many times, or these songs so many times. I'm trying to think of what I want to play. Let's do a Stevie Wonder song. Is that cool?
Yeah.
I did another Stevie Wonder, but I don't get to do this one often. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
So when you're strumming, there are like 10,000 ways to strum. Is that like, it just looks like you were strumming like with, or plucking like the top string with your thumb, but then occasionally like strum the chords, but then also occasionally pick, like how, I guess I don't know anything about anything. So like, what's the ABC for like different types of strumming?
I guess the way I'm playing right now, I wouldn't teach to a student to start. Okay. I would think of like, if you started with just a chord, G or something, and then strumming, whenever the downbeat is, I think down.
Okay.
So if it's 1, 2, 3, 4, but you'll notice that your arm naturally already does the upstroke.
Right.
You're just not playing it.
Yeah.
So then that's where an upstroke would go. Okay. So then that feels like eighth notes, 1 and 2 and 3. So a lot of people go to strum and they look up online like, oh, it's down, down, up,
yeah.
up, down, down.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they do that. You know, yeah. they just play what they read. But it's like you want to feel in your arm a sort of subdivision.
Okay.
Sometimes that could be a 16th note rhythm. But nonetheless, this is just going up and down. So to me, if somebody's getting used to or getting started with strumming, I would start with that. Or finger picking would be just a different route. Take a chord and you practice, you know, finger picking. So I used to do just exercises like that or different permutations. So you'd want to get an exercise. I don't think you'd want to start with a song necessarily. You want to focus on the intangibles. Now, what I'm playing is just a little bit more, for lack of a better term, kind of bastardized because I was taught by my grandmother and I played like that for so many years. And then I went to school for jazz and classical and I learned some of those techniques, but then I'm doing my own arrangements. So I kind of achieve them with whatever feels natural to me.
Yeah.
So I don't actually know. When I try to teach these things,
yeah.
people be like, well, they'll stop
right,
me.
No, right.
Well, you did your thumb in
yeah.
there, and then you flipped. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. So if I slow it down, it's hard for me to talk about it sometimes and teach that stuff. The Billie Jean was an easier example. So to me, I would say you just need to get some techniques individually down.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the occasion arises that you have an opportunity, I feel like it just comes out.
Okay.
Because that's one thing, when I made the arrangements, I'm more focused on the song than I am actually how I'm achieving it.
Okay.
Because my buddy will point out, he's like, dude, you never use your pinky. And then it'll come in there. And I don't know why, but it'll just happen. So, or sometimes I'll be playing it and I'll just do it differently.
Yeah.
You know, it just feels weird. Sometimes I can tell because there was a little hiccup in what I'm doing. I'm like, what are you doing, man? But you live to fight another day. So I would say what I'm doing is a little bit, I don't know that the word is advanced. It's just kind of controlled chaos. But I don't know that I'm really cognitively thinking about it.
I see.
It.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So maybe starting with strumming or finger picking to get you going. And there's some songs that's kind of built in, like Dust in the Wind and things like that. They got like a... not trying to play the whole song, but you could just start with, you know, and it's probably more like, but having some sort of musical motif happening makes that more enjoyable than if you just went, you know, but it does require a little bit of that. So maybe starting there. But
okay.
You said you're starting on ukulele.
Yes,
so
I've been, yeah.
I think that's a great place for people to start because a lot of the chords are really manageable.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of times on guitar, like you get several chords into learning and then there's the F chord that everybody talks about, you know, and it just defeats everybody. So I feel like, starting with ukulele is a cool place to start. But
My last question is kind of weird, but... okay, so singers, I know very often they have to, you know, they have to either have exercises or whatever for protective measures as far as like safeguarding their voice and like the physical nature of like their singing, their instrument. I was just curious, like from like a, like your fingers, your hands, like do you ever like cramp? Do you ever feel like, do you just play all the time so you never feel like any kind of, I don't know, tension or pain? Or do you think, sometimes as a viewer, I'm like, oh man, I'm definitely gonna have arthritis by the time I'm like, you know, super old. But like, do you think about those things? Do you have like protective measures for your hands or anything like that? Or
I didn't think about it enough when I was younger because I was clocking some like 10-hour days of playing.
Okay.
This solo guitar stuff is so taxing. So I'm actually experiencing a little bit of difficulty here today because we're talking in between.
Oh.
In that like stoppage of it.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like your body when you're working out. You
yeah.
know, like if you're in the middle of working out, all right, I'm going to get on the treadmill. Like you
yeah.
don't feel anything. You're just loose.
Yeah.
But if you stop
yeah.
And then get cold and you have to go back,
right.
you know.
I
feel like, you know, basketball players do it great. They'll sit on the bench that whole game and then
right.
come in and hit that three at the
mm-hmm.
right time. Whereas I find on guitar, it's easier to do if I'm doing anything else. If I'm just soloing for somebody or, you know, over something or just playing chords. But this stuff that I'm playing today is so taxing,
okay,
you know,
gotcha.
Just in general. So I do better. Like, for example, if I have to play a 3-hour performance, I'm playing for 4 hours because
okay.
I will play a whole hour. Like go warm up. You saw me last
yes.
time I was here
yeah,
out there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I do.
I
didn't
see.
Get to do it today, actually. but my point being, if I stay loose, I'm fine. But
yeah
if I stop and come back cold, it's kind of, yeah, I can feel little, you know, irks and pains. I've had to be a little bit more mindful of my elbow because I teach primarily too.
Yeah.
So you're in this position all day. You can see my elbows
uh-huh.
are locked. So you'll see me like popping
yeah,
and cracking.
Yeah.
So I really try to like, you know, stretch before I do it. I don't use power tools or try to, you know, stay away from hammers or anything like that. That's kind of my safety. But usually if I play every day, I stay loose enough and things are, I can get back to things pretty quickly. But yeah, if we do what we just keep
right.
doing, play and then stop, that's probably, and it's fine for today, but like that would be my least favorite way to perform.
Yeah.
But if I'm just going for hours and hours and hours, like usually the later I go, you'd think you'd be more tired.
Yeah.
And I am taxed, but I actually feel looser and just more capable.
Right.
So I would say as I'm getting older, I might need to look into a little bit more of that stuff. But I do try to stretch. Especially like your back and stuff, because you can see I'm already like starting to hunch over. But you know, when you stand and play with a strap, there's all kinds of certain measures. But I find like warming up, just make sure that you warm up before you play. Everything will one work when you ask it to. But then two, I feel loose. But when I wake up in the morning, like I feel every ounce of, you know, the elbows and all the damage it is doing. So I try to take breaks. Like I said, I used to clock 10 hours a day. I don't know why I ever did that, but I'll try to just take breaks. I even took some days off. Would have loved to played, you know, plenty of time to get some work in, but I was like, you know what? I've played for 500 days in a row. Like really just take one off, you know? So I do envy that about singers though. I have a great deal of sympathy for when they show up to a gig and they're like, hey,
right.
we need to tune down tonight.
Yeah,
or, you
yeah.
know, do you mind, like even, you know, last night I was jamming with my buddy Michael who didn't need me to sing, but there's been times where they'll just be like, hey, you wanna take one? I need a second.
Gotcha.
And I appreciate that because
yeah.
I understand that it's, you know, I guess like lifting, you know, there's only so many reps you can do
right.
before you just need a
yeah.
break from it, you
yeah.
know? So, but I've always felt like if I had the flu or any sort of illness, I'll still play. Like I still, that's not gonna stop me,
right,
you
right.
know? But I think for singers, that's kind of a,
yeah.
you know, breakdown.
Right.
So.
All right, well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having
all
me.
Of your...
I enjoyed it. It was a pleasure to meet
yeah.
you.
Thank
Sorry
you
the
too.
Conversation was mostly one-sided.
No, that's exactly how I think it's great. This is I think it's my favorite part about doing the sessions is hearing like the variety of different paths, even with all of the musicians primarily playing music to some extent for a living, I just feel like everyone's path is so different to arrive where they are, and their plans for the future are also different. And I feel like that's fantastic, because when I say like, hey, to my children, like I want you to be like a, you know, people say a lifelong learner, you want to be a musician, and whether or like at least a music like, you know, lover, whether that means like, you know what, I tried playing an instrument, it didn't work for me for whatever reason, but you're just still loving and appreciating music and, you know, being open to it in so many different places and ways. And that there are so many different ways to do that. And I love that about, you know, hearing everybody's stories. And yeah.
And it feels like you never, like the more you learn, then you just go, oh man, there's just this other thing I don't know. So it never really stops. I love that about it. Cause you'd think 30 years in, you'd have it all figured out, but you don't.
Well, I mean, even just like listening to music, when I have friends who say like, oh, there's just no good new music anymore. I'm like, that's just like, especially because, you know, even my dad and I, every once in a while when we get together as of late, he'll be like, hey, do you know this song from the 70s? I'm like, no, of course I don't know this random song from the 70s. Give it to me. What do you know? Like, and it's so great because then it's like, wow, now I'm going down this rabbit hole, you know, decades ago. So there's just still so many different directions you can go, not to mention actual new music that I'm like, thank you, Spotify, for introducing me to new stuff that I wouldn't have considered.
Yeah, it's funny that people say there's just no good, or you hear a generational thing. People will be like, they just don't. Music's not like it was back in the day. It's like, I love Brandy, You're a Fine Girl. Love that song. But I also love some Bieber. Like, don't give me that, you know?
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like, that's just statistically cannot be the case.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
And there's a bunch of artists you just never hear of.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
until you uncover all those stones, which I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Lawrence, the band, are you familiar with them? They're like a local band out of New York. And I started following them during COVID times because they started, you know, producing a lot more videos. And they just got on like Jimmy Fallon and are like about to start a tour. And they're just big on, they have like it's like a brother-sister singing duo, but they also have like a lot of brass instruments. So they're very big on like the live music vibe for their music. But anyway, I also think that that's exciting, just like following local artists and getting excited about their music. And I don't know. There's just so many different directions you can go with like appreciating it. So,
I appreciate it. I've actually been out to see every one of my friends, everyone that's been on the show,
okay,
if you will, so far. I've seen them all out on gigs multiple times, and I make a very pointed effort to do that because we all play so much on the same nights that you can't go see each other play.
That's right.
And actually very few I can name on one hand who've come out to see me play. And not to make anyone feel bad or anything, but it's because of that. But I make a pointed effort. I'm like, no, if I have a night off, you should also take nights off, but there are sometimes I'll just let my wife know like, hey, I got the night off, but we should go still see and hear music. And the only penalty of that is that if, you know, these are my friends, so when they recognize you, then they're like, get up and play, like Justin, hey man, come up and play. So I just let those guys know, hey, I'll come up and I'll do two.
Right.
I have a wife here who's sitting back there, and you heard the story earlier. All I wanted to do was go talk to her, so let me go do that. But I try to make that pointed effort because, like I said, I've played so many shows and seen so few of my colleagues actually come to them. And the ones that have, I'm very appreciative of. But the ones that haven't, it's literally just because we have to work so hard that we can't even go see each other play.
Right.
You know, so I think it's important. You know, if you got a night off, yes, take the night off, but go appreciate other musicians. Go cheer them on. Yeah. I was cheering on Austin and Sierra last week, you know. Go be a fan and a friend, and go support music constantly.
Yeah. So. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.